And I'd like to open up in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you this morning to help us to see Jesus more clearly as we look into the Scripture. Lord, reveal your heart to us. Reveal your purposes to us. Show us how you care about us, Lord God. I pray that our hearts would be just caught up in a desire to serve you and to love you with everything that we are, Lord. I ask you this morning that by your Spirit you would teach us and instruct us. You know the needs of our lives, every person that's here, Lord God. Speak to us clearly something that would encourage us and build us, correct us, and move us forward. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And we're going to go through the rest of the chapter, making a few comments on some of these scriptures as we go. The title of this message today is called Responding to a God Who Reaches Out. And I want you to see, there's several stories in here that we're going to look at about how God has a heart to reach out to people. God has a heart to somehow step into our lives. He's not that distant. Even though he's high and lifted up, he's not distant from us. And he's not disconnected or unattached. He's not unconcerned. But you're going to see in these scriptures that even though God makes an effort to reach out to us, people respond to him in different ways. Some people respond positively, and some people respond negatively. And so I want you to be thinking this morning about how do you respond? What's been going on in your life when the Lord has extended himself to you? How have you responded to him? I want to begin by reading in chapter 13, verse 10. It says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And so this is their weekly meeting where Jesus is getting up and he's sharing the scripture on the Sabbath day. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Think about how long that must have been for a person to have this affliction for 18 years. I mean, 6 months is a long time. 3 years is a long time. 10 years is a long time. But 18 years, this woman had an affliction. And the Bible talks about this being that she was bent over. And I was reading a little bit about it, and I forget the name of the disease. It had some sort of a name. But essentially, they think this woman walked like this, and she was kind of like parallel to the ground. She was bent over and couldn't stand up for 18 years. Wouldn't that be a bummer to have that kind of a life? And here was this woman, happened to be in the synagogue on that particular day that Jesus was teaching. And the thing I love about this more than anything else is that Jesus saw her. Jesus was not so caught up in what he was doing and caught up in just his own life and his own purpose that he didn't notice this woman with a need in her life. And so it says, Jesus saw her. And I want you to know that when Jesus sees something, he notices it and he cares about it. Jesus saw her. And the next thing it says that he did is he called her forward. And I'll elaborate on this in a moment. And he said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And then I want you to skip on down to Luke 13, verse 34. Here we see the Lord reaching out to some other people. And in this case, it's the whole city of Jerusalem. So the point I'm making here is that Jesus reaches out to people. Jesus sees a condition and he extends himself. First to this crippled woman, now to an entire city. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together. You see the heart of God here? That he's seeing a people who were rejecting him, a people that were turning from him, a people that were trying to find their righteousness in the law rather than the righteousness that could be found in him. And he's calling out to them. He's longing to have a relationship with them where he could gather them together. He says, like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. It's like a protection, a safety, a caring, a nurturing kind of a heart. And Jesus is saying, that's how I think of you, Jerusalem. And he uses these words, I have longed. That to me tells me there's something in the heart of God that has a great compassion and desire for these people. He's reaching out. But it says, you were not willing. You were not willing. I wonder how often Jesus has been reaching out to us, longing for a relationship, longing to gather us under his wings, longing to have a way to reach into our hearts and touch us, and we've just not been willing. We've resisted it. We've held back. Or were we like the crippled woman who, when she received from the Lord, she praised God? Amen? And Jesus says in verse 35, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So we see here two stories on two extremes. Both situations, Jesus is reaching out to people. On one, the woman, it says that she praised God and she glorified God when she received her healing. And the other people, though he was reaching out to them and would have given them great things, he would have gathered them together and nurtured them, they were not willing. So it's like two ends of a spectrum. I believe that we have a God who is constantly reaching out. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 14, from heaven, the Lord looks down and he sees all of mankind. You know that today, the Lord is looking down. And again, he's not too busy. All of us, we get very busy in life and so many things escape our attention. We may see a need in someone's life and we just become blind to it because we're so busy about our life, our worries, our concerns, and things that have to do with us. But think of the Lord. He's not so busy. Yeah, he's holding the universe in place. He remembers all the names of all the stars. You know, he's just in control of everything. Yet he's not too busy to look down and see mankind. He's not too unattached. He's not too high and mighty. Sometimes we have people that are dignitaries that are high and mighty. They don't have time for the little people. But how many are glad our God cares about the little people? Because that's what we are. We're the little people. We have a God who looks down from heaven. He looks. Even today, on every one of our lives, he's been looking. The Bible says his thoughts toward us are like the sands upon the seashore. Think about that. How much the Lord thinks about us, how much he cares about us, that he looks down upon our lives. There's a story in the Bible that talks about a woman named Hagar who was the woman that Abraham was going to have a child with because him and Sarah couldn't have children. Well, Sarah became jealous and basically kicks her out of the camp. And so here's Hagar, like a vagabond, pushed out of the camp. And while she's in the wilderness, the Lord came to her. And she was so blessed by this that she gave the Lord a name. And sometimes in the Old Testament, you'll see that people gave a name to the Lord that identified something about his character or his personality. And you know what name she gave the Lord? You are the God who sees. See, even though she was out in the wilderness, even though she was pushed aside, the Lord saw. He looked down and she was not alone. We'll never be alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He always looks down upon us. And so I just want to encourage you in your darkest hour, in your loneliest time, when you feel abandoned by your friends or your family or whoever, that the Lord looks down. And I love that about Jesus in this story in the synagogue. As he's teaching, he looks up and he sees. He sees this woman. And the thing about the Lord is when he sees something, he takes another step and he does something about it. We can see things and say, oh, that's a sad story and never do anything about it, don't we? We're sometimes afraid to get involved. We're afraid to take the risk. We're afraid to take that next step when we see something to say, wonder what I can do to help out. Mark, you were sharing today about the people in the wheelchairs there. That's what happened to you. You saw a woman dragging herself across the road. You saw that and the compassion of God moved upon your heart, and you said, I'm going to do something. And look what the Lord has done. Because you were willing to have the ability to see with the heart of God, but also the courage to take the risk and say, well, I'm not just going to pray for her. I'm not going to say, oh, Lord, I hope you can bless her life. I'm going to step into this situation and do something. And that's what Jesus did here. We have a God who sees, and then we have a God who's willing to step in to the situation and do something. A great story about that is in the story of the children of Israel as slaves in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. And he says, so now go, I am sending you. He's speaking now to Moses. He says, now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And so this is a unique story here in that God didn't go personally, but he sent somebody. But yet he is still acting. And sometimes in the world today, when the Lord looks down and he sees the condition of mankind and he cares about it, sometimes he acts uniquely, but sometimes, like with Moses, he asks us to go. He asks us to extend his hand. He asks us to speak for him. He asks us to care and love for him. And so, even though the Lord is the one who sees and the one who has compassion and the one who's moved to do something, sometimes he wants to include us in that work. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be used by the Lord to touch the people that he sees and cares about. Amen? We know that John 3:16, a very famous scripture, God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. God so loved the world that he gave. It was his heart to see a condition, to see our lostness, to see us caught up in sin, to see us without hope, but not just to see it, but he was moved to come and give up his life so that we could have eternal life. That's the heart of God. He's a God who sees, and he's a God who steps into the situation. And that's what he did for this woman. And the Bible says he laid his hands upon her. She was set free immediately. The Bible says that she stood up straight. Can you imagine the joy that must have been in her heart for 18 years having to walk around like this? And now with the touch of the hand of Jesus, she can stand up for the first time. What do you think a legitimate response should be? Woo! Yeah, it should be woohoo. Rayo, you should be dancing on that one. You know, this is the time where this lady stood up and she was praising God. She glorified Jesus. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You've been like this for 18 years. And I just want to tell you guys, we all have something to praise God for. You might sit here and say, well, I've never been bent over 18 years, but if that happens to me and he heals me, I'll praise him. No, you've been saved from your sins. You know, if no other miracle has ever happened in your life, you've been saved from your sin. You have eternal life. You've been delivered from that pit we talked about earlier today. We have something to praise God about. And when the Lord, who looks down from heaven, God of gods, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, takes the time and the energy and the compassion to look down upon our lives and to extend himself and to reach to us, he encourages us. He gives us his wisdom. He heals us. He gives us friendships. He gives us families. He gives us breath. He gives us life. There's so much that comes from him. The only true, legitimate response that should come out of our hearts is, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's glorify him. Luke 18, verse 43, another story about a blind man. It says, immediately he received his sight and he followed him, glorifying God. Wouldn't you? You know, the guy was blind. He couldn't see anymore. And he followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. That's one of the reasons why we like to give testimonies here, is so we can hear the things that God is doing in people's lives. And hopefully what we're doing is not saying, boy, I wish that would have happened to me. That guy always gets the blessing. We're saying, give praise to God. Give praise to God because he is working in the lives of my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus. It's the only legitimate response. So we're talking about, how do we respond to a God that reaches out. Praise, glorify Him, worship Him. And Acts 3, verse 7 and 8, you know the story there. Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and there's a man who's lame from his mother's womb. From his mother's womb, every day they carry him and sit him down at this thing because he can't walk on his own. And he's there having to beg for money to make a living for himself. And as he's there, he reaches out to Peter and says, hey, can you give me some alms? And Peter says, hey, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have, I will give you. And how many of you know that he has something greater than silver or gold? Silver and gold are going to end tomorrow, but he gave him Jesus. He gave him a healing and a relationship with his Lord and Savior. He gave him the best thing he could give him. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, brother, that's out of order over there. No, they were so excited because the Lord touched this man's life. And he was responding, walking and leaping and praising God. Not everybody praises God, though. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 17, about 10 lepers who received a healing from Jesus Christ. You remember the story? And it says, one of them, you know, Jesus sent them away and said, be cleansed. First of all, think of leprosy. This is a disease that basically destroys your skin. Your fingers fall off. Your nose falls off. You stink. It's very contagious. You can't be around people. You live in colonies. You can't hug your family anymore. You can't be around. You have to call out unclean, unclean if people get within a certain distance of you. It's a terrible disease. And these 10 came to Jesus, and he saw, and he was moved, and he had compassion, and he touched them, and they were healed. And they ran off. And as they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them looked down. He says, oh, my goodness, look, I've been cleansed. And he turns, one of the ten, turns back. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. What happened to the other nine? Where were the other nine? See, this is not 10 people who were touched by the Lord who reached out. But not all of them rejoice. Not all of them glorify God. How do we respond when the Lord reaches into our life? He fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks. The Bible says he was a Samaritan. You know, those are like the enemies, aren't they? And Jesus said to him, and I think it, I mean, I don't know if it amazed the Lord or just he was disappointed. I'm not sure. But he said, were there not 10 cleansed? I wonder what the Lord says when he touches our lives and we have no response. When he does something in reaching out toward us and we just take advantage of it or take it for granted. Were there not 10? I mean, in a sense, he's expecting that all 10 of them would praise God for what's been done here. But it was just the one. Where are the nine? They are not found any who return to give glory to God except this stranger. Isn't that a sad story? Let me encourage us to be worshipers of God. Let me encourage the men here. Men, let's be men who glorify God. That's not a woman's work. Well, that's what the women do in the church. No, this is what men of God do. Women of God do it, but I'm speaking to the men. Let's worship Him. He has done things in our lives. He has reached out to us. He has come into our lives in so many ways. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to respond to it? We should be up on our feet or up on our hands if you have them and doing something but praising God for what he has done. It's very manly to be a worshiper of God. Think of David. David, the king, could whip any of us. I mean, he could probably whip If all of us men in here today said, let's take him on at one time, he still could have taken us. And he was a worshiper of God. He was a mighty warrior, but he worshiped. He worshiped God in such a way that his wife was embarrassed to see him. He loved Jesus. He loved the Lord with all of his heart, all of his soul, all his mind, and all his strength. It's pride, and I don't know what it is that keeps us sometimes from just saying, Lord, you're worthy. You are worthy. And let's worship him. That's the only truly fitting response that we can give to a God who's reached out to us. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Whatever he hears, that he will speak. He will show you things to come, and he will glorify me. One of the hallmarks of the Holy Spirit is he's going to glorify Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit is in you and vibrant and alive in your life, you're going to be glorifying Jesus. That's just the bottom line. You're going to be talking about Jesus. You're going to be in love with Jesus because the Holy Spirit is sent not only to teach us, not only to guide us, not only to show us things to come, but to glorify. Jesus said he's going to come and glorify me. How many here have the Holy Spirit in their life? Well, start glorifying Jesus. Amen. This is not a put down. This is an encouragement. Let's be people who respond to God's heart and his reaching out and his touching of our lives. In verse 14, we see other people in that same synagogue, and it says they were indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Imagine this. This woman had been bent over for 18 years, stuck in this condition, no hope. And in one second, Jesus touches her. Immediately, she's healed. She stands upright. She begins to praise God. Instead of everybody in there being amazed that our God would reach down and touch this woman's life and everybody glorifying God and praising him for what he's done, we have this person here who's indignant. I can't imagine that. I cannot. It's hard for us to even fathom how people could respond to God in this manner. But it's because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. They had their view of what should happen on the Sabbath. And so Jesus began to speak to them. This guy gets up and he says, hey, don't you know there are 6 days for work? So come and be healed on those days. I mean, he's basically saying, I don't mind if you want to be healed, but don't do it on this day. This is the Sabbath. And the Lord answered him, you hypocrites. Don't you, each of you, on the Sabbath, untie your ox or donkey? So these people had cattle or oxen or donkeys tied up in a barn or something. He says, don't you untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water on the Sabbath? And I'm sure they're all in their heart saying, yeah, we do that. But see, we don't consider that work. We consider that part of what we can do on the Sabbath day. So we take these animals that are bound up, we untie them and set them out so they can drink water, so they can have a healthy life. And Jesus is saying, you're so hypocritical, you can do this for your animals, but here is a woman, a daughter of Abraham, not tied up with ropes, but bound by Satan for 18 long years. Why shouldn't she be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? And when he said all this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. How do you respond to the Lord? Can you see these people are responding in different ways? I'm going to close with the next point here. I'm not going to talk about the mustard seed and the yeast. Paul preached about that a couple of weeks ago, verses 18 through 21. But let me look at verse 22. Here's another way the Lord has reached out to all of mankind. Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? You know, from what the things that Jesus had been teaching this congregation recently, you know, telling them about his coming and being prepared and all these, some people begin to wonder, I wonder if really many people are going to be saved. And I love the fact that Jesus didn't really give them an answer, did he? He gave them the solution. You can answer this question yourself. Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and they will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and he closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. That's just ominous thinking in my mind of what would happen to people who reject the door that the Lord has placed for their safety. It's a door. It's not many doors. How many of you know there's one door? What is a door? A door is an access. It's a way from one place to another. Jesus in the book of John says, I am the door. I am the door. He didn't say there are many doors. There are not many doors to God. There are not many ways to God. There's one way. Christianity is accused of being exclusive, and it is. But, you know, it's the most loving thing that Jesus can say because he's telling the truth. There is only one way. There's only one who's died for us. There's only one who spilled his blood. There's only one who can forgive our sins. There's only one who can lift us up from the dead again. There are not many ways unto God. Jesus said there is a narrow door, and the door is open. Even though it's exclusive, it is all-inclusive. He is saying whosoever will may come. Anybody can come through this door, but you have to come through Jesus. And the reason why many will come and not find their way is simply because they refuse to humble themselves and acknowledge that Jesus is the way. It is Jesus. You see, the point here about the door being closed and not being able to get in again was, I don't know you. It's a relationship that God wants. Who are you? I don't know you. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that counts. How do people respond to the door? Well, some people will make every effort. I hope you're those people. The word make every effort is a word in the Greek. Let me try to say this. Agonize omai. I mean, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. I'm not a Greek scholar, obviously. But what I see in there is the word agonize. It means to put forth effort. It's like engaging in an athletic contest. You put yourself out there. It's to fight, to struggle, to wrestle, to fight the good fight. These are some places the scripture is used. Fighting the good fight of faith, wrestling in prayer. But Jesus is saying, make the effort to enter in at that narrow door. The sheep, let me tell you what the sheepfold is. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I protect my sheep. I am the door to the sheepfold. A sheepfold was basically like an area with four walls. It could be stones, it could be thick hedge, but it was where the sheep would spend the night. And in one of the walls, there was a narrow door. And it was narrow because how many of you know if you had a wide door and you had one shepherd, it'd be hard to chase the sheep down if they're trying to get out, and it'd be hard to chase the foxes away if they were trying to get in if you're trying to protect a large area. So it was a narrow door. And it was an opening that sheep could go through to come into the sheepfold for safety and protection. And that's where the shepherd would sleep at night. He would sit in the doorway and sleep because nothing could get in unless they go through him. And nothing could get out unless they go through him. He is the door. And that's the picture that Jesus is painting here. If you want in my sheepfold, there's a narrow door, and he said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I guess I'm going to close there. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to share with you that's... I guess one last thing I'll share with you is in verse 26, then you will say, just kind of finishing the thought of what we're talking about here, about this narrow door. He said, then you will say, well, hey, we ate with you, we drank with you, you taught in our streets. Because Jesus just said, I don't know you. Remember that? Hey, we know you, we ate with you, we drank with you, you taught in our streets, but he'll say, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. People will come from the east, from the west, from the north, the south, and they'll take their place in the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who are first, and those who are first who will be last. What's he saying here? Well, these were people, the people of Israel here, the Jewish people, and many of them felt like because they were children of Abraham, they were automatically in. It was based on heritage. And many of those, like these Pharisees or the synagogue leader, were basing their righteousness in the fulfillment of the law, not through the door, which is Jesus Christ. And those who he was calling, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how much I long for you to bring you into myself, to put you under my wing, to care for you, but you were unwilling. And so those who were his people were rejecting him at this point. They were turning away from him. And Jesus is saying, listen, one day the door is going to shut, and you'll be weeping, and there will be gnashing of teeth, and you're going to look inside, into the inside, the other side of the door in the kingdom. And you're going to be surprised because over there, you're going to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets. Why? Because they responded to him. You won't be there. Who will be there are people from the north and the south and the east and the west. And you know who those are? That's the Gentile. That's the Gentile nations. Now God has a design, a desire to bring his people. I'm not writing the Jews off. He has a plan to bring them back after the times of the Gentiles. But at this point in time, Jesus is talking about people who were rejecting him. He was reaching out, and they were rejecting. And he's simply saying, you know what? There's a narrow door. One day it will close. And if you reject me, there's nothing left but weeping and gnashing of teeth. You will look to get in, but I'll say, I never knew you. And you'll be surprised because those people that you thought guaranteed your entrance. I'm a son of Abraham. I'm a daughter of Abraham. Though they will be there, you won't be. You guys remember another story in the Bible where God closed the door? Noah's Ark. Another place where the Lord provided a door, a place of safety, a place of protection, a place of salvation. But you know, you had to go through that door to get, I mean, there's no way to get on the ark. You weren't going to be transported there. Beam me over, Scotty. You know, it was like you have to go through that door. And eventually, when the time came, they all went into the ark and it says, the Lord closed the door. And it was over. The same thing Jesus mentions here. He is the door. One day, the owner of the house will close it. Let's stand together and we're going to pray. The real question before us today is how do we respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we respond to this God who has reached out to our lives? I pray that all of us would have a responsive heart, that we would rejoice, we would glorify him, we would be praisers of God, we would testify about his goodness, about his work in our lives. We would not take advantage of it, take it for granted. We would rejoice with other people when we hear their testimonies. And that God would help us to recognize when we as people have become ungrateful. Help us to see it, Lord, if I'm beginning to be like one of those nine lepers. That, yeah, you've blessed my life so much, but I've not even come back to say thanks. Help us respond to you, Lord. Lord, I pray that all of us would have a heart that is so open to you, so sensitive, so aware of your movement in our lives, that we respond. Father, I pray that for those of us here who may be afraid to worship, who are maybe have pride, maybe have insecurities, that we would put those aside and say, Lord, I just want to praise you. I want to give you the glory that's due your name. Father, for those of us who have been ungrateful, maybe not even in a mean-spirited way, but we've just forgotten. We've taken for granted. It's somehow it's just slipped through our mind for some reason. Lord, remind us of the things you've done. Remind us of the work you've done in our lives. Let us call to remembrance those things so that we can come with a grateful heart and to worship you. And Father, I do pray for the nations, Lord God, those today who are in the crossroads of making decisions for life, for eternity. Father, for our friends and relatives who are there at that point where you're calling and you're reaching and you see and you're extending yourself and you're sending your people. Father, I pray that there would be a responsive heart. I pray that you would help us, Lord God, to break down those walls of resistance, of pride, of ignorance, that people may respond to you, O God. And I thank you so much for being a God who sees and who reaches out and who extends himself to us. We're so ever, forever grateful for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. All right, you guys can be dismissed. If you have any needs for prayer, please feel free to come up. We'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, take some time to share your love with one another and meet somebody you don't know. We'll see you next week.